Byron Smith was found guilty in his murder trial in Little Falls, Minnesota. He was found guilty on all four counts against him for the 2012 Thanksgiving Day shooting of two teenagers. Meshbesher and Associates, Steve Meshbesher, is his defense attorney, and he has a few minutes for us this morning on KFGO. Steve, hello and welcome to KFGO. Thanks for joining us. Has Byron Smith been transferred yet to where he will serve out his time?
No, the way the Minnesota system works is he'll be taken for orientation to a facility by the Department of Corrections in St. Cloud, and they will determine there within 90 days what that facility will be from a permanent standpoint.
Mm-hmm. What is his state of mind these days?
Very sad and depressed and very frustrated with the system right now because of inability to present a complete defense where the judge would not allow him to call a number of witnesses that we had subpoenaed and were prepared to call as witnesses.
And that will be part of the appeal, because that is sort of the latest that's come out of this, is that you will appeal, and it is based on things that you didn't get into the trial, Steve?
Yes. The appeal will deal directly with a lot of the judge's rulings and some of the prosecutor's reactions in the courtroom, that we had to make a number of motions, an unusual amount of motions for mistrial because of what was perceived to be misconduct on the prosecution's side.
Could you give us an example of misconduct, of that misconduct?
Well, there was one specific example of when the judge made a ruling and ordered us to refrain from saying something in regards to what he heard on a tape. And then the prosecution disregarded that ruling and said what he thought was on the tape, disregarding what the judge ordered us to do. And I made a motion at that point saying, you know, we have a court order. The order was very clear. You said what we should do, and he didn't do it. Bit in the face of the court order.
The jurors have, a couple of jurors have spoken now. They didn't speak right away, and I believe they, during the press conference, and said that they didn't want the media to contact them. But one of the jurors has said that the tape that we now have heard, that was the most damning piece of evidence in my mind.
Well, I understand what they say, but they didn't see the whole picture. There are a number of witnesses that we had subpoenaed that the judge ruled were not allowed to testify.
How would they have countered what was on the tape?
Well, they would have explained it. There are a number of witnesses who were involved with Nick Brady, who was the male that was shot in my client's home, that say that he was involved in multiple burglaries, stealing a number of weapons, and stacking weapons. He was a gun enthusiast. He had a Facebook where he was shown holding an assault rifle, military assault rifle. And
Byron Smith knew this?
It's not that he knew it. It's just that he was confronted with a person that was of that background.
Sure.
And that background was coming down the stairway in his home on Thanksgiving.
Can you clear something up for us, Steve? How many times was Byron Smith's home broken into? And how many of those times, what was it, these two?
Well, we know that Nick Brady, that one, had burglarized and stole things from his house at least 3-4 times.
Okay.
And we have a witness who was prepared and willing to testify that he participated in those thefts.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't Byron Smith call the police when he was afraid for his life?
He was afraid that if he went to a phone to call the police, he'd be shot and killed in his own home, because there was so much fear in his, he didn't really know how to react under that kind of strain.
But on the tape, he doesn't sound afraid. He sounds like he was on a mission.
Not really. Again, that's where we had an expert psychologist the judge wouldn't allow us to bring in, who was going to testify and explain the tone of his voice and what fear takes all kinds of different shapes and sizes, and that was still a sign of extraordinary fear. And he just wasn't reacting normally. He was talking to himself, mumbling to himself.
Do you think that the jury would have... Well, let me ask you this. Why did you advise him not to take the stand?
Well, given the judge... Given what was admitted, it was unnecessary. It would be just duplicated what had already occurred. I mean, there are tapes of interviews that where he voluntarily waived his right to an attorney, voluntarily waived his right to remain silent, and explained the whole situation to him. Mm-hmm. And the that putting him on the stand would have just duplicated that. It wasn't necessary.
What kind of a guy is Byron Smith?
Byron is a very interesting person. He has very bright academically. He has traveled all over the world. He worked for the State Department. He lived in foreign cities while working for the State Department, Moscow, Beijing, Berlin, and a very kind, peaceful person. And born and raised in Little Falls, Minnesota, and came back. He was involved in the Boy Scouts for 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very well-liked and respected in the community.
Do you think, this is Steve Meshbesher, and again, thank you for your time. I know you're busy. And he represented Byron Smith in the murder trial in Little Falls, Minnesota. Do you think that there might have been a different outcome had the trial been held in a town other than Little Falls?
Well, I can't say that. You know, we thought that it would be best to keep it there. We thought that the people in that community would understand having guns in their home. Almost everyone on the jury did have a gun, and we didn't want to get into a community where they were unfamiliar with weapons and the right to bear arms.
One of the things that has resulted from the tape, and as you probably well know, I mean, I know you've been on WCCO. We've stayed in contact with them and other media outlets. There's been lots and lots and lots of media conversation about it, about this case. And what we've heard from our listeners is that their mind really was changed about what happened in that basement after the tape and the evidence was released. Is that going to be difficult to get around in the appeal?
Well, the tape can be interpreted in a very negative light, but again, there was nothing to balance it with in terms of the Haley Kiefer and Nick Brady and their tendency towards violence and burglaries and stealing and
had they used weapons in other burglaries?
Well, I believe they were very violent burglaries. Whether they used weapons, I can't say.
Were they violent in the nature and in how they got into the house, or did they hurt someone in the home?
I believe they were working on a number of burglaries. In fact, one thing the judge would not let in is when they searched the car that they were in, that they found hidden a block and a half, 2 blocks away from my client's home. They found a number of stolen items from another person's house in Little Falls, on the other side of Little Falls, dealing with all kinds of things.
You know, Steve, and this is just, and I'll let you go after this, but where were the police through all this? That's such a question that just baffles me.
It baffles everybody.
Yeah, where were they? It sounds like there was a town run amok, and these kids were driving around with weapons and committing, you know, violent burglaries. I mean, what the heck?
Not just driving around with weapons, but they were advertising their violence on Facebook. The Haley Kiefer had 66 self-inflicted wounds on her body that were interpreted by the medical examiner as suicidal wounds, where she was high on a drug that creates a feeling of out-of-body experience where you float. In a psychotic reaction, and the medical examiner said she was intoxicated on that particular drug. It's pretty bizarre.
It is indeed. And I thank you for your time today, Steve Meshbesher, who defended Byron Smith. The next step, I guess, is the appeal. And when will that begin, Steve?
Immediately. They've already retained our firm, and we are in the process of organizing the facts for appellate purposes.
Do you know how the town is? Are they beginning to heal, or are they more separated and divided than ever?
You know, all I did is receive good vibes and support. When I was in Little Falls for that 3-week period, I had more people come up to me wishing me good luck than I've ever experienced, especially in a homicide. I had elderly people, young people, all kinds of people coming up to me, including law enforcement, wishing me good luck. They wanted to see Byron found not guilty.
Wow. Steve Meshbesher, thank you very much.
You're welcome.